Okay, we're moving on to 8F, which is report 2025-131, 310 Division Street, Coburg, data update. And for, this is for June 25. And Rebecca Carmen is going to present this. But before you do that, Rebecca, I just want to remind that a delegation regarding an agenda item will be heard when the business item is dealt with. And I believe we have one person that wants to discuss this, as set out in the agenda. Delegations will take place after the staff overview presentation, but prior to committee deliberating on the item. So Rebecca, who's our Associate Director of Housing and Homelessness, please go ahead with your report.
Thank you, through you, Chair. We'll keep it brief. This is our monthly hub report and shelter report from 310 Division. We've included some different graphics in order to help make it clearer to answer specific questions that have been asked for by council, including where folks are coming from, breaking down also the proportion, not just from Northumberland and outside, but also within Northumberland. And we've also continuing to look at providing some data around the number of different service providers that are on site, and how many, and still working on the best way to present that data. This month we're presenting it as the total number of day visits, visits that have come in between March and May, and those things of course are increasing as well, so just to note that. And the average number of organizations that are on site providing services each day is about 3. So we do have multiple services on site on a daily basis providing those needed services.
Thank you, Rebecca. I'll make the first comment. I've been historically going through the graphs and that type of stuff. There's an awful lot of information there. But I found when I was looking at it last night, I was relying more on the hub reports, which gives a real good summary of what's going on when you look at the two of them. So I do appreciate whoever's doing that, because I think they're doing a good job of looking at that. And I would like to, you know, you mentioned the three service clubs that come on a daily basis. Are you looking at over 5 days in the week or over 7 days in the week?
I can get that information for you. I don't have it off the top of my head.
Thank you. Anybody else have any questions or comments regarding the report? Glenn, do you have a comment?
Through you, Chair, just circling back to your comments on the extent of data that's being provided, not only the data, but also identifying the limitations that are encompassed within the data that the individual or data analyst coordinator, or DAC, Madison Stange, should be acknowledged for her efforts in putting this all together. It is a significant amount of work, and we are very appreciative of all her efforts. Wanted to acknowledge that.
Pass on our congratulations and accept her great work for us on behalf of the committee. Deputy Warden, you have a comment?
I have a question. In the report, in terms of the affiliation. The first question I'm going to ask is, I usually do my reading of the committee meetings early in the morning, the day of, unless I have some time the night before. But when did these actually get posted on the agenda?
I'm told they came out about lunchtime yesterday.
Okay. So, probably not everybody's like me that has a busy schedule on reading things the morning of or the night before. Is there a possibility of maybe getting these reports posted a little bit earlier for the purposes of the general public being able to read and access these and then decide on how they may want to be engaging in our meetings?
Jennifer, you want to take that?
Yes, through you, Chair. I think that this is a challenge that we have with a lot of the data that we provide, and because of the timing of when agendas get published and when the meetings happen early in the month, in order to keep the most current data, we kind of either have to have reports come in at the last minute before the committees happen, or we have to use data that's a month old in order to make that cycle, just because of the crunch. There's a lot of data here for staff to go through and to put into charts and graphs and make sure that it's in a readable format. And as that's been expanding, it's taking up more and more staff time each month in order to complete this package. So it is a bit of a choice of either the most current data, or we get it quick. Like, we can either have older data or quick data, and it's balancing that is what we're trying to do.
Maybe there's a way to try to align that for the future, whether it's the meetings or the data. I'm just suggesting, I think it would be good if we had those reports a bit earlier. But I wanted to ask about the community affiliation that's in the report. And I always say there's no such thing as an innocent number. And so I'm just wondering, do we have any further information about why so many of the affiliations are coming from Hastings, Peterborough, and Durham? Do we know what the trajectory is of folks from their primary affiliation to winding up at 310 Division?
Rebecca, please go ahead.
Through you, Chair, I think it's discussed maybe a little bit in the limitations, or it was in a previous month's report. Part of the challenge is with this data set is it's self-reported for a hub visit. So this is someone who's coming in to access space in the immediate sense. And so there's not, the questions are asked to be very quick in navigating in that way. One of the things I think my quick answer is we don't know necessarily what those answers are. We also don't know when, so if someone says they're from Peterborough, is that where their parents lives? Is that where they grew up? But they've been in Cobourg for so many years, or Northumberland for so many years or months, or so we haven't asked that level of data just based on how it's being asked. This is one thing that we are looking at how to get a better sense of based on the clients accessing services at 310. Looking to partner with a third-party educational institute to get some more qualitative data and be able to tell those stories a little bit more. And those are things that we are working towards. And we've had to delay that work a little bit so that we're working right now on the council report for June, that was a project that had to get pushed off a little bit. But we hope to be starting that over the summer to be able to start telling those stories about what the experiences of someone who identifies as being from Hastings and now ends up here. Those are parts of those stories that we want to tell a little bit more and learn a little bit more about.
Follow up?
I think that's terrific that you want to have those stories, but I also don't see it as like a new project or a new initiative. I think it just could be an additional question, like, can you tell us how you came to be here, now that you've answered that, your primary affiliation is Peterborough. tell us how you got here. Why are you not seeking services in your home community? I don't think it has to be really complicated, but I'm really glad that, you are seeing that as a priority, because I would like to know why we have such a significant number of users of 310 Division that don't have their primary affiliation as anywhere in Northumberland County.
Through you, Chair, we'll take that back to our data analysis coordinator and our folks answering the questions to see if there's a way we can grab some more data on that.
Thank you, Rebecca. I do have a question, or Councillor Cleveland would like to make a comment. Go ahead, Councillor Cleveland. Can't hear you.
How about now? Can you hear me now, Chair?
Yes, sir.
Wonderful. Thank you. I appreciate that. Sorry for this. Two things. First and foremost, I'd like to ask that this standing committee ensure that this will be highlighted for future discussion at the June meeting. I have not had an opportunity to go through these numbers in detail because of the last minute nature of the posting. And so I'd like it immediately sort of pulled from the agenda, not put into consent, and set up for future discussion, just because I'll be doing it anyway, so we can get ahead of that. The other thing is, hopefully before the June meeting, we can sort of see a two factor. My concern is, looking at the numbers just at a high level, we're tracking everything back to November, which is great to have a cohesive picture from now until when it started. But the reality is things really shifted in the last 8 to 10 weeks around the operations at 3:10. And I think we need to see a comparator of what happened previously till about 12 weeks ago, as well as the numbers in the last 12 weeks. Things like service restrictions, things like security calls, things like who is and isn't using the shelters in terms of numbers. It's great to sort of have a holistic look at from opening till now, but I think we really need to look at sort of the last 8 to 10 weeks specifically, and I'd like to see a comparison, if possible, of those numbers and what we saw in the first sort of few months to what we've seen in the last two. And lastly, I just wanted to make a comment to Councillor Hankiewicz. While there may be a variety of reasons that we're seeing a major influx into Coburg from surrounding regions and or communities, I'm sure there's multiple reasons. Two reasons, very clearly. One, it is a policy of all other lower tiers that should an individual be experiencing homelessness, mental health, or addictions, that they are brought into Coburg. So that's an actual, like, a policy, so that people in Brighton would be brought to Coburg. And secondly, because several very ideological advocates who no longer work in Coburg are employing themselves up in Peterborough County, I personally have met several individuals in Coburg who have actually been driven to Coburg from Peterborough by some of these individuals, I'm sure with well-meaning intent, because they've been told, and I was told directly by two individuals who currently find themselves without shelter in Coburg, that they were told by Coburg residents that Coburg is the most generous community, that there is an abundance of services, and that they would be treated a lot better in Coburg than they are in Peterborough, and actually provided a lift from Peterborough to Coburg for these individuals who are experiencing homelessness. So I'm sure there's a variety of other reasons, but I can speak to those two for sure.
Thank you, Councillor. Rebecca, do you have a comment? Please go ahead.
Through you, Chair. I would point just a couple of things that we have in the report that do meet the request. So we do include the number of service restrictions by reporting week dating back to November 13th to 16th when it opened. So we do have that bi-weekly breakdown over the entire period. We also include the number of unique clients per week for the entire reporting period. So if there's more information that's being requested, I think we would just need a little bit more understanding of specifically what is being asked for, so that I can make sure that we can try to fit that in to get that to June Council.
Councillor Cleveland?
Yeah, happy. So thank you. As I said, I really haven't had a chance to go through the details of the numbers due to the last minute sort of putting on the agenda. And so what I would suggest is I'll actually send a brief email. I guess the other thing is, in terms of the business report study, I know we're pushing that off, but a lot of the comments that are being put need to be, I think, pushed through to the report. We've seen on, when people are replying to these, they're filling out a survey, but they're also providing comments. And I think comments need to come directly through to council, not just the data, but the actually qualitative and quantitative sort of stories and experiences of the businesses. So I know that report will be coming in the future about the business sort of study and the 3:10 business study, but I would hope that we would be including comments in that report. But thank you, Chair.
I thought you left. You disappeared for a second, Jeffrey Warden. Okay, we do have a delegation that wants to address this, and it's Chance Brown, and so I see Chance is with us, but just before we go, I'll remind you that delegations are permitted for a maximum of 10 minutes, plus there's a 5 minutes for questions and answers, and limited to a maximum of 2 presenters. The clerk will track the time of your delegation, and I will verbally notify you when you have 2 minutes left. If you prefer a visual cue, please note this at the start of your delegation.
Thank you so much.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Good evening, council members. My name is Chance Brown. Today I speak again, not only for myself, but those whose voices are often lost in numbers. People who are unhoused, marginalized, and struggling with substance use and fleeing violence. The county's recent data update on 310 Division Street provides an important snapshot of service usage and challenges faced with the residents and local businesses. But behind these numbers are people, real lives that are often left out of the discussion. For example, data shows that 203 unique individuals have accessed the hub since November with an average of 28 unique clients per day. Many of these clients are chronically homeless, with over half reporting six months or more without stable housing. These numbers are a highlight of the system under strain and the communities in crisis. I'm one of those ones included. The data also points that an alarming trend, service restrictions are being applied on an average of 6.5 times per week, with substance use and escalated behaviors as the main reasons. These metrics echo the stories that I hear daily, stories of individuals banned from the only places they can find warmth and food because they use substances or acted out in moments of crisis. These bans, these numbers, you know, they're all, you know, truly helping people heal, or are they just punishing them for surviving? Your own data shows that most of the hub's clients are men, single, relying on social assistance. But what these stats can't capture is the heartbreaking and the daily struggle that I witness. I know people who have been stuck in a warm room for months because they repeatedly denied chance to move upstairs. Their lives reduced to a cycle of waiting for a bed that's never opened up. The data alone doesn't tell you about that mental toll living on the constant state of uncertainty. One person for sure I know, at least speak on their behalf, has been there since day one and not right upstairs. I see this disconnect too. In the Business Pulse survey results, businesses report loitering, waste, and noise, and they've contacted emergency services and elected officials out of frustration. But I want to stress that the county's own report also recognizes that these surveys only capture a small fraction of business. Just 12% of those eligible don't even distinguish whether people they see are actually 310 clients or members of the broader unhoused community. What's missing from both these reports is the human story. The individual who's banned for 30 days because of an ongoing investigation, even though they helped find something, the person was forced out of the warming room and their properties not to be able to utilize any of their services. The resident who was sobbing could only be told by staff to stop crying over discharge until another staff member stepped out with real compassion. The newly established couple that could not go upstairs together, but individually one at a time after, could. I feel your pain. There's many more stories I could talk about, believe me. These are not numbers, these are lives, and your own reports admits the limitation of your data. It's an ability to capture the full picture of what's happening in the shelter and how it's affecting both residents and the surrounding community. The report even notes that the quantitative data, stories like the ones I'm sharing today, are needed to understand the quality and essence of experiences and outcomes. So let's not reduce these individuals to a row on a spreadsheet or a statistic on a report. Let's invest in peer-driven support and find housing-first initiatives that have been proven to work. Let's build data-collecting systems that don't just count people, but actually listen to them. And then let's remember that behind every service restriction and client visit is a person who deserves dignity, compassion, and a real chance at recovering and stability. And if that you have today should be a starting point, not an end point. Now let's help use it to build a better system that's driven by compassion, not punishment. It's a system that sees people first and numbers second.
Thank you, Chase. So, any members of the committee have any comments or questions? Go ahead, Deputy, or pardon me, Warden.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and through you. It's not a question. I appreciate the sentiment and feeling about, you know, maybe being treated like a number. That's, of course, not the intent here. The intent is to gather information, gather data and statistics so we can, in fact, move forward, do a better job, and help people move out of emergency sheltering and into transitionary housing. So, you know, I understand that we're not telling a story in these statistics because staff are providing us with data and numbers so that better decisions can be made. But Mr. Brown, I do appreciate your concern about feeling treated like a number. We never want to do that as a level of government, but as you know, government has a good way of doing that, and that's treating people like a number anyway. But here we are trying to gather data so that we can provide better service to the community, the whole community at the end of the day. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Warden. Deputy Warden, you have a comment?
Thank you for your delegation, and I think it brings up a really important point about diverse knowledges and how those get translated into the different sources of data that we collect, and then what at the end of the day is valued as data. And so I would like to continue to advocate for mixed methods in collecting data, understanding that qualitative data is just as important as quantitative data, and together they form a comprehensive and rigorous picture of evidence on which we can make our decisions.
Thank you, Deputy Warden. Just a reminder, I know there have been other members of the public that have joined us since we started virtually. I just want to make sure that they're aware that they can speak to us on an agenda item if they so wish.
Can I also ask a question as well?
Please go ahead.
That doesn't show in there, but the last meeting that I attended or watched online, your peers were talking about assessing and I guess doing a survey or audit with Transition House and seeing if it should become a high barrier service. My question is, if that were to come to light, what are you going to do with 90% of the residents that currently reside there in the warming room? Where do we go?
Go ahead, Jennifer.
Through you, Chair, that is some of the work that staff are looking at right now. The June meeting of council is when we were requested to bring a report back, and in that report there will be an assessment and recommendations to council about that reality and what will happen and what the options and what the limitations would be. So staff are aware of that, and they will be bringing some of that information back to council for the June meeting for council's debate and discussion. And at a staff level, we are absolutely aware of what a switch in use would, how that would impact the individuals currently accessing the services. So that will be referenced and considered in that report and available for council's consideration.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you. Can I follow up to that? Just keep the thought of this. It's not just the service users, but also the town that it's in as well. Putting all those people back out on the street is going to cause something very epic than the encampment happening, and I'd rather not see that happen.
Yes, and that is also been acknowledged, and that has been offered to town staff of whether they would like to have input, because we do know that there will be far-reaching impacts from that change in use that's proposed.
Thank you.
I have a prepared resolution here that the Social Service Committee received a delegation from the organization regarding report 2025-131, 310 Division Street, Coburg, date update for June 2025 for information, and this delegation was by Chance Brown. Mover and seconder. Moved by Warden Ostrander and seconded by Deputy Warden Hankivsky. Any further discussion? All in favor? Chance, thank you very much for your work and all you do.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Okay, we're going back to 2025-0624 regarding, EF. Okay, EF. So we haven't passed the resolution for 8F yet. That the Social Service Committee received report 2025-131, 310 Division Street, Coburg, data update for June 2025 for information, and further that the committee recommend that county council receive the report for information. Mover and a seconder.
I'd be happy to move this as long as we identify it for separate discussion at the council meeting, please.
Okay. Our clerk is a little bit ahead of you. She's already prepared one, so I'll just read in addition to what I've already said, further that the committee recommend the county council identify this item for a separate discussion at the June 18th, 2025 county council meeting. Moved by Warden Ostrander and seconded by Deputy Warden Hankivsky. Further discussion?
Councilor Cleveland has his hand up, sir.
Oh. Councilor Cleveland.
I'm just double checking, and I apologize for the interruption, Chair. The previous motion where we recommended that it be sent to the province and to various people. That won't be until after the June 6th, 18th meeting. I'm just confirming that none of these information packs and or reports will be sent outside until the full council confirms them. Thank you.
I believe, Mr. Chair, the Council of Cleveland is referring to the annual reports, probably specifically the one around housing and homelessness. And I would confirm that council has to affirm those before they go off to the province. So everything we do at these committees is an advisory capacity for council. That is two reports ago. That's correct. Yes.
Thank you, Warden. And we're confirming exactly what you were requesting, Councillor Cleveland. Okay. I have to call a vote on that resolution. All in favor? Motion is carried.